Infowars.com/show.
So allow me to make a prediction here in my prediction stuff. I'm not Polly Market, I'm not Kalshi, but I'm pretty good at predictions. And my prediction here is that everything that the media is now going to say about Iran's going to close the Strait of Hormuz and energy prices are going to go crazy and all these, none of this is going to come to pass. That isn't to say there won't be a little bumps here and there in the market, and it's not to say one random thing, you know, bad thing might happen to a ship or something like that. But Iran has basically, their military has basically been decimated. So they can keep doing PR stunts and having the second general of the fourth command of the third wing of the Iranian army show up on MSNBC. They can keep do that and make his threats and say, we're going to let things through if we like you and not if we don't. But it just is utterly irrelevant. We are the sheriff.
Yeah, how'd that work out? How'd that prediction work out for you? It's funny. It's very funny. I mean, that was a couple days after the war had started. And, of course, he's saying that Iran is already done. They've been defeated, and they'll never close the Strait of Hormuz. That wasn't my prediction. My prediction was the exact opposite, and it was the right one. So this is why we're going back. This is why we're going back over the timeline, to show you all of the lies that you've been fed, that we now know are absolute lies, incontrovertibly. So, again, to refresh, we put economic sanctions on Iran that are designed to cause pain in the civilian population. Israel sends Mossad agents in to inspire riots and protest and to arm the rioters and protesters in an attempt to overthrow the government. There's clashes. People end up dead. They multiply the number of dead by 10. To claim that that's the reason that we're going after Iran. Although in the beginning, as we just heard from Trump, and that was a shortened Trump statement that I edited. Obviously, you could probably see the jumps, but his full statement was about 8 minutes, and I included all of the actual reasons for the war in there, which, according to Trump, are to protect Americans from Iranian attack, to ensure that Iran never achieves a nuclear weapon, and to free the Iranian people who are begging for us to come deliver democracy to them. Now, we know all of that's untrue, and in fact, we could have gotten the enriched uranium through diplomacy. They were ready and willing to negotiate with us, but we weren't interested in negotiation. The negotiation was all a big ruse to keep them in a state of a false sense of security so that we could kill all of their leadership. And so on February 28th, we did just that. And for everybody watching, and at the time, and this is what we said, and looking back, I'm only more and more sure that this is correct, that Donald Trump expected it to be Venezuela 2.0. He believed the Israelis, and when Benjamin Netanyahu, when he told them, despite all of his intelligence agencies saying that it was farcical, far-fetched, and BS, he believed him, and he thought that they'd bomb him on Friday, and by Monday, before the markets even open, he'd be out there going, we did it, we destroyed the Iranian regime, a new regime is in place, and done deal. Now, this may have been complicated, and it's a little confusing. This is one that's not fully confirmed, but it appears as though there were people that we expected to be able to slot in to basically take over once we killed the higher-ups, and it looks like Israel may have killed them at the same time, leaving us holding the bag on Monday morning, leaving Donald Trump standing there going, don't worry, it's going to be like 4 weeks. 4 to 6 weeks, we planned for this. It's going better than we thought. Now, I don't believe any of that. But it was on the 3rd of March that we sort of first got the real story about what happened. Again, they expected it. I really genuinely think they expected it to be over by that Monday. It would have been the 1st of March, right? No, the 2nd of March. Monday was the 2nd of March. So he expected by the 2nd of March for it to be over. And this is where you see the first example of failure to prepare and scrambling to make up for failure. So they expected this to be a in-and-out miracle worker-type Venezuela operation. And when that didn't work, they immediately go to the Kurds. Now, previously, apparently, Netanyahu had said that the Kurds would be ready for this, but clearly they had not communicated with the Kurds. And the Kurds basically turned around and slapped their offer right down and said, hell no, we're not going to fight for you. Screw you. We're going to fight against you, if anything. So, again, you see this over and over where it's this big mission, big attempt. It's going to be amazing. We're going to decapitate them, put a new person on the throne, and then we'll be done. When that doesn't work, they're looking around going, okay, the Kurds. Oh, well, the Kurds are going to come fight us. They're going to be our boots on the ground. And when that doesn't work out, they come out with the threats again. And when those don't work, they go to the next, you know, attempt to pull something off. It hasn't worked yet. And all of this, again, is indicative of the fact that they were not prepared for any of this. They were not prepared for a four-week war. They were not prepared for a six-week war. They thought this would be over in a weekend, and when it wasn't, everything went downhill, and it's been just trying desperately to manage and hide the chaos ever since. And you know that this wasn't a unified and cohesive action, because on the 3rd of March is when you had Marco Rubio and others admitting that this was all for the sake of Iran. Now, for the sake of Israel, rather. Now, we already know that Israel promised Trump that this would be successful. Israel was pushing for this. Israel was the one starting the riots and encouraging, you know, all of this, and also committing genocide in Gaza, which is causing the fight in the first place. And so it wasn't exactly a surprise that this was happening. It was shocking to hear somebody in the government actually admit that this is the way things went. Let's go to that classic video that will live in infamy, since it was Marco Rubio, Secretary of State of the United States, accidentally telling us the truth. 303, this is Marco Rubio.
The United States conducted this operation with a very clear goal in mind. I haven't got a chance to see a lot of reporting. I don't understand what the confusion is. Let me explain it to you, and I'll do it once again as clearly as possible. Perhaps you'll report it that way. The United States is conducting an operation to eliminate the threat of Iran's short-range ballistic missiles and the threat posed by their Navy, particularly to naval assets. That is what it is focused on doing right now, and it's doing quite successfully. I'll leave it to the Pentagon and the Department of War to discuss the tactics behind that and the progress that's being made. That is the clear objective of this mission. The second question that's been asked is, why now? Well, there's two reasons why now. The first is it was abundantly clear that if Iran came under attack by anyone, the United States or Israel or anyone, they were going to respond and respond against the United States. The orders had been delegated down to the field commanders. It was automatic, and in fact, it bears to be true, because in fact, within an hour of the initial attack on the leadership compound, the missile forces in the south and in the north, for that matter, had already been activated to launch. In fact, those had already been pre-positioned. The third is the assessment that was made that if we stood and waited for that attack to come first before we hit them, we would suffer much higher casualties. And so the president made the very wise decision. We knew that there was going to be an Israeli action. We knew that that would precipitate an attack against American forces. And we knew that if we didn't preemptively go after them before they launched those attacks, we would suffer higher casualties and perhaps even higher those killed. And then we would all be here answering questions about why we knew that and didn't act.
All right, so there you go. Rubio suggests U.S. strikes on Iran were influenced by Israeli plans. In other words, we were forced into it because Israel was going to attack Iran. We would receive the backlash. Instead of trying to restrain Israel, we decided to go all in. Now, of course, they tried to walk this back, but not before confirming it multiple times. Of course, Trump tried to go the opposite direction. We, of course, now know that, you know, this is not true. It was, in fact, Israel that, you know, was going to launch the attack and forced our hand. But, you know, Israel's never had a better friend than Trump. And here he is claiming to have forced Israel's hand, taking the blame for this utterly devastating war. Let's go to the next clip here.
Mr. President, did Israel force your hand to launch these strikes against Iran? Did that
No.
pull the United States into this war?
No, I might have forced their hand. You see, we were having negotiations with these lunatics, and it was my opinion that they were going to attack first. They were going to attack. If we didn't do it, they were going to attack first. I felt strongly about that. And we have great negotiators, great people, people that do this very successfully and have done it all their lives very successful. And based on the way the negotiation was going, I think they were going to attack first. And I didn't want that to happen. So if anything, I might have forced Israel's hand.
Okay, so at the time that this video came out, you may have believed that. You may have thought that that was true. We know now none of that was true. We know he decided on February 12th that these negotiations would never be concluded. He had no reason to believe, oh, because of these negotiations, Iran is going to attack us. Iran was giving them everything they wanted, but they decided 3 weeks earlier to go to war. J.D. Vance, Vice President, came out trying to, you know, put a good face on this and say, no, we didn't expect this to be over already. We expect this to last for a while. Let's go to J.D. Vance again on the 3rd of March.
The United States has a lot of optionality here. And, you know, we could go for a little bit longer. We could go for a lot longer. But I think the president just wants to make it clear to the Iranians and to the world that he is not going to rest until he accomplishes that all-important objective of ensuring that Iran can't have a nuclear weapon, not just for the next few years, not just because we obliterated Fordow or some other enrichment facility, but because the Iranians themselves commit long-term to not building a nuclear weapon.
So there was Operation Epic Fury in full swing. So J.D. Vance, again, doubles down on the idea that this is all about stopping Iran from getting a nuclear weapon. But if you go back to that Rubio clip, he introduced two other goals that haven't been mentioned up to that point, which was destroying their ballistic missile capability and their Navy. Okay, so that makes five total goals so far, which is defending the American people from attack, never letting Iran have a nuke, freeing the Iranian people from the despots who control them, destroying their ballistic missiles, and destroying their Navy. Now, they may have come up with these two last goals after realizing the other goals are unachievable and knowing that they already pretty much did the last two. So maybe that's how it worked. But again, it wasn't just Marco Rubio and everybody else saying that this was Israel doing it, which is anti-Semitic, by the way. I don't know if you know this. According to the Times of Israel, saying that Israel dragged the U.S. To war isn't just wrong. It's anti-Semitic. According to Shlomo Levin, who must be Mark Levin's alter ego or something. I don't know. His real name, we're not sure. But yeah, it's anti-Semitic, apparently, to understand the process by which we were driven to war by the despicable Jewish state of Israel. Let's go to clip the next one now, 304. This is Mike Johnson, again, admitting, saying, revealing, slipping. I don't know what you want to say, but confirming, once again, this was for Israel. Let's watch.
To me, the most critical point is that this was a defensive measure, a defensive operation. And why is that? I took some notes, and this is not classified, so I'll tell you what I think is important. Israel was determined to act in their own defense here, with or without American support. Why? Because Israel faced what they deemed to be an existential threat. Iran was building missiles at a radical and a rapid clip. To the point where our allies in the region could not keep up. As you know, Iran has long vowed to take out Israel, wipe it off the map, and they have long seen that.
Yeah, so we get it. It was about Israel. I mean, it was about Israel. It was about Israel. It was about Israel. Everybody knows. I'm just letting you know in case you got people out there. Israel's not dragging us into this. Literally everybody said it. You just don't have a memory that goes back a month, I guess. And it was on the 6th of March that Donald Trump, I guess, was, I don't know what's motivating this, but came up with a new end to the war, came up with a new goal that we were trying to achieve, a new military objective that would define our operation there. Unlike any of the others, let's go to clip 306 here. Trump saying what he demands from Iran to end the war. Let's watch.
Simple words, a very simple, unconditional surrender. That means I've had it. Okay, I've had it. I give up. No more. Then we go blow up all the, you know, all the nuclear stuff that's all over the place there.
Unconditional surrender. We're a pretty far away from that. But as of March 6th, that was the demand. Unconditional surrender. Okay. Just letting you know that the ever-shifting goals that were put forward by our leadership. We go to the next clip here. Because, again, this is Trump, even though previously said he forced Israel's hand. Kind of not the truth. Let's watch.
All of this money is to make sure they never go nuclear, they can't hit us with ballistic missiles, and they stop terrorizing the region. When this regime goes down, we're going to have a new Mideast. We're going to make a ton of money. Nobody will threaten the Straits of Hormuz again.
We're going to make so much money, you guys. The money's going to come rolling in. Of course, now here we are, a month and more later, and the Strait of Hormuz is closed with no sign of it opening. We can go to the next one. Here's Trump again, letting it slip a little bit.
Years they've been killing our people and killing people from all over the world, and I think we have great support. And I think if we didn't do it first, they would have done it to Israel and give us a shot if that was possible.
give us a shot if that was possible. So again, he's like, well, they were going to attack Israel, so we did it first. So I just, it's just over and over again, it's been reconfirmed continuously, this was for Israel. So speeding up here, just to try to get to the end, because we're still very much early on. But as of February 28th, U.S. and Israel forces launched nearly 500 strikes in the first 12 hours. Iranian missile and air defense sites, command centers, nuclear-related facilities, et cetera, et cetera. Civilian casualties included 170 to 180 killed when a missile hit a girls' school in Manab. Additional strikes hit other places, including some of the nuclear sites, as well as residential halls and a residential zones and a sports hall. Then Iran retaliated, launching 170 ballistic missiles, thousands of drones at Israel, U.S. bases, and the Gulf states. Strikes damaged airports, ports, hotels, and refineries. Debris and intercepts caused additional casualties. Iran effectively began disrupting the Strait of Hormuz basically that day. Israel then called up its reservists. You had cyber attacks on Iranian infrastructure, and a state of emergency was declared in Israel and the Gulf states. Then for the first few weeks of the conflict, you basically have back-and-forth escalation continuing with heavy U.S. and Israeli strikes targeting air bases, hospitals, command centers, and Natanz nuclear facility, with Iranian retaliating across the region. Civilian deaths mount. Interim Iranian leadership council was formed, with Mojtaba Khamenei later elected supreme leader on March 8th. And it continued. We can go skip down now to 3:10. This was on the 10th of March, where Trump was certain that we'd already won the war and we were just going to wrap it up pretty soon now. Let's watch.
Thank you, Mr. President. On Iran, you called it an excursion. You said it would be over soon. Are you thinking this week it will be over?
No,
are you talking
but soon.
About days?
I think soon.
Okay, and with respect
very
to...
Very soon.
We can go to the next one here. 2 days later, he reiterated, it's not only over soon, it actually ended the first day. Let's watch.
Well, it's only good if you win. You know, you can only... And we've won. Let me say, we've won. You know, you never like to say too early you won. We won. We won the bet. In the first hour, it was over.
Yeah, kind of. But, you know, that was a month ago at this point, and here we are in a worse position than ever. We can go to 313 here. This is Secretary of War Pete Hegseth saying that no need to worry. The Strait of Hormuz will be opened by America in no time. Just calm down. Let's watch.
And as the world is seeing, they are exercising sheer desperation in the Straits of Hormuz. Something we're dealing with. We have been dealing with it, and don't need to worry about it.
Don't need to worry about it. You don't need to worry about it at all. You don't need to worry about it so much that it's not even really close. The Strait, it's not close. Let's go to the next with Pete Hegseth here, 313. Pete Hegseth says that the Strait of Hormuz is actually open, you guys. Let's watch.
The only thing prohibiting transit in the Straits right now is Iran shooting at shipping. It is open for transit should Iran not do that.
Got it. So the Strait is open. You just might be hit with a missile if you go through. Totally makes sense. Again, are you getting a picture of just like the chaos, the lack of direction, the flip-flopping, the completely unachievable goals that then have to be replaced by goals that shouldn't even exist because the Strait of Hormuz was open before we started this conflict? Are you understanding the stupidity that we have been led down? And everybody who has listened to these lies and believe this crap is responsible for the fact that we are now, at this point, pretty much losing a war against Iran. Then you got a pretty big deal here, probably the biggest deal of the entire conflict, 3:19, a few days before, around the 16th or 17th of March, Joe Kent, the head of the National Counterterror Center, resigned in protest of the Iran war. The next day, he went on Tucker Carlson and said this about who controls our foreign policy. Let's watch.
And I think this speaks to the broader issue. Who is in charge of our policy in the Middle East? Who is in charge of when we decide to go to war or not? In this case, with what the secretary described, and later on the president, later on the speaker of the house, and the way the events played out, the Israelis drove the decision to take this action, which we knew would set off a series of events, meaning the Iranians would retaliate.
Again, we knew. We knew this would not go well. We knew Iran was lying. I mean, Israel was lying to us about how easy this would be. We knew that the Strait of Hormuz would be closed, even if Dave Rubin was lying to you about it. We knew. Everybody knew. But Joe Kent asked a very important question there. He asked, who controls our foreign policy? Well, clearly Israel does, from everything that we've seen so far. But the real question is, why? For what? Why are they getting us into war in Iran? Why did they want to start the riots? Why did they use the American treasury to create the conditions to overthrow the Iranian government? Of course, you don't have to wonder, because Benjamin Netanyahu has told you over and over. Here's a speech from the 13th of March where he lays out why America got into war in Iran.
We are in historic days, days that will be written in the annals of Israel. In Operation Roaring Lion, our roar is growing and intensifying. We are pummeling the Islamic regime in Tehran. We are pummeling its emissaries, Hezbollah in Lebanon. This unprecedented coordination between Israel and the U.S. and achieved substantial achievements that are changing the reality in the West Bank, in the Middle East and beyond. These achievements are increasing the status of Israel as a superpower more than ever. Through our power in opposition to the power of our enemies, this is what is ensuring our survival. Our threats come and go, but when we become a regional superpower, and in many respects a global superpower, we have the power to push away threats and ensure our future. In 1993, I published an article in one of the newspapers in which I wrote, the biggest threat to the state of Israel is not in Arab states, but it is in Iran. Since then,
all right, so that's why it's so Israel can become a superpower on the world stage, a regional power uncontested in the Middle East, and a superpower the equivalent of China or America, as they seek to supplant America by using us to go to war with Iran. That's what all of this has been about. So again, they lied to us to get us into this. They used us to create the conditions to fool Trump into thinking that this was possible. When it turned out it wasn't possible, we've been now drawn into a quagmire that, according to Benjamin Netanyahu himself, is all in service of building up Israel as a regional superpower. It's not anything to do with benefits for the American people. And so for the entire month of March, it's just a continual back and forth, you know, game of battleship with missiles flying from Iran to Israel. Then you get to the last week of March. The last week of March is when I think, out of sheer desperation and, you know, an unwillingness to admit they were wrong and back off, I believe they attempted to launch a ground invasion, a miniaturized ground invasion to seize the uranium stockpile. That completely failed. You had the story about the fallen pilot and the rescue mission. And immediately after that, you have Trump issue the threat to totally obliterate the entire civilization unless they open the Strait of Hormuz. They refuse to open the Strait of Hormuz. Trump backs down anyway, agrees to this 10-point peace plan that they don't actually agree to. Israel immediately breaks it by bombing Lebanon, and now here we are, straight closed, billions of dollars spent, dozens of people dead, entire bases obliterated, Iran more extreme, less inclined to participate in any sort of oversight of their nuclear program. Absolutely everything has gotten worse, and the fault can be laid firmly at the feet of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu, and Donald Trump himself, for falling for their lies, as well as, of course, all of the Quislings and sycophants online that believe all of the lies and, you know, try to discredit you for disbelieving them. And so I believe that all of this, I mean, it's been this continual process of making these big claims, trying some major this will end the war adventure that fails, rinse and repeat. I don't know how we get out of this, but one thing is certain. We have to decouple from Israel. We have to restrain Israel. And if we really want peace in the world, we have to destroy Israel. We have to arrest the leadership, convict them in war crime tribunals, dissolve the state, and establish a multi-faith republic. That needs to be the future of Israel. Shouldn't exist.
We have it all. Ultramethylene Blue, we have the best. The Shilajit, we have the best. The Turmeric, we have the best. We have the best spike protein, pro-cardiovascular, ultimate life force. The best Irish sea moss gummies and capsules. Incredible. Research for yourself. We have the best at theultramathestore.com. And if you buy any of them, they're 50% off when you sign up for AutoShip. Cancel anytime. And you guarantee it never sells out. They hold it back. You get 50% off on future orders. And anybody that downloads for free the Android or the Apple app, you find both links to it at alexjonesapp.com. It's free. You get an additional 20% off at checkout on top of that. Now, I had to convince Bitly to do this. They were a little skeptical because they like to give you good deals, but not this good because it's loss leader when you use the app. But because we have an 80%+ reorder rate on things like Ultramethylene Blue, it's actually working because you get it, you love it, and you keep ordering. So these are great products. I want to induce you to try them. You know our information's hardcore. Try the products. It's just as hardcore. 1776 worldwide. We will crush the 1984 globalist system. God bless you all.